Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the time on Fridays where we're joined by Pirates insider Jason Mackey, and apparently also doubling as an Andrew Filippone troll these days.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I had to give you something, man. I was listening to you guys driving back from D.C. yesterday about the Dwayne Haskins talk, and it was good radio. I enjoyed it.
That would be like if the Pirates had signed Josh Hamilton when he was down on his luck, and that would have paid huge dividends for the Buccos back in the 2010s, Jason. A move like that.
Yeah, but it's a little hard to say, you know, was Josh Hamilton the future of the Pirates? I mean, he didn't, you know, he wasn't really the future of anything.
Well, he was the future of the Texas Rangers. They got to a couple World Series with him.
A couple years.
Yeah.
They would have won one without old Nelson Cruz misplaying a fly ball.
Right.
I don't know why I'm agreeing with Pony here, though.
What do you mean? You said you think Dwayne Haskins is going to start games for the Steelers, too, so don't try to now push me into oncoming Steelers traffic here.
I never said he would
Steelers
win.
Media traffic.
What did
traffic.
You set his MVP, future MVP awards at? 1.5? And you were taking the what
I said it
there?
Was a tough – I didn't say if I was taking the over-under, but it was a tough total to set as the odds
well,
maker,
then that
as
means
the handicapper.
You think, that means you think he'll win at least
I'm
one.
I'm saying that there's you start for the Steelers for 10 to 15 years. Maybe there is a Super Bowl appearance or two in your future. Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'm not going to bring up anything that Jason may have texted me about, you know, picking more than 75 wins when the Pirates were 12-11. I'm not going to throw
boy.
That back.
It's going to be this kind of interview face. Today.
Hello?
I never went above 72, and I'll wear 72.
You said to me when they were 12-11, hey, what do you think of my prediction now? You were gloating. You took a victory lap. You took a victory lap 23 games in. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Well, Jason,
April, Wednesday, April 21st.
Oh, wow.
Jason Mackey, remember when I was insane for saying 72 wins, question mark?
Oh, no.
Oh, man, you took the off-the-record conversation.
Oh! No! You trolled me first. I had to hit the nuclear button, Chris.
What are you, Starkey?
I had to hit the red button.
Anything that happens in a text is off the record, though.
No, it's not. When Jason gives me something that's off the record, he starts the text by saying, this is obviously off the record.
So you just suddenly report any other parts of the text
as
on the record?
Jason didn't say, hey, off the record, I'm great at predicting the Pirates. He didn't say that.
Mm. Now, I want to fill out some context to that because I took a lot of crap. No. I'm not going to explain myself away. You should criticize me. Go ahead. I can take it. But I was taking a lot of crap at the beginning of the season for the 72 wins, and that's fine. And, you know, they were better than expected. At that moment in time, yeah, I thought they were going to be better than the 40 wins that a lot of people were predicting. So that was my point. Now, was I right about the 72 wins? Absolutely not, and I should be ripped for it.
No one predicted 40 wins, though. No one did. Most people said that they were going to win in the 50s and 60s.
Okay, all right.
I think I was getting close to like 49-113. I think I was down in the mud. Well,
they still might get there, Jason.
What's amazing, though, is that they're still the third worst team because the Diamond, like, this is just a race to the bottom, and the Diamondbacks look like Secretariat right now.
And don't forget about the Orioles. Here comes Seattle SLU.
It's a long season.
Jason, I guess my question about all the losing right now is what's odd to me, and I wasn't somebody that, A, thought winning was a good prescription for them this year. They need to acquire talent. The best way to do that is to have pick one, round one, in your back pocket for two straight years. So I'm not, this is not a criticism of the fact that they are losing per se. What is strange is some of the things Derek Shelton has said about his starting pitchers. This is what kind of just makes me scratch my head. He wants more innings out of them, and Chase DeYoung looks like he's pitching pretty well and gets yoinked after, what, only four innings, 70 yep. pitches? That's the kind of stuff that, as an observer, as a fan, I think to myself, well, what's going on here? It has to be one or the other, doesn't it, in these little moments that aren't about wins and losses. It's just about how your manager is handling the season and his players.
Right. And I have a couple thoughts on that, and I get asked about that stuff a lot. Like, is it fair to evaluate Derek Shelton right now? And I think that's completely fair game. Like, how you handle that decision. Like, look, it's the fourth inning of a competitive game. Dude's pitching well. Do you stay with him? Do you not? And, you know, I don't understand it. I don't have a good reason that explains why Derek Shelton has done what he's done over the past, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, that we've really seen some goofy pitching decisions. I mean,
because they're not trying to win games. And the mandate comes from the people above Derek Shelton's head, would be my guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, Andrew, but are you intentionally trying to lose them? There's a difference. Because, like, if you're not trying to win games, you still have young guys that you might want to develop, right? Like, Chase DeYoung is not a young guy. I realize that. He was in the Frontier League. But, like, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. What's the harm in letting him pitch deeper if your expectation is not to necessarily win the game? But by removing him and doing what you're doing, you're almost trying to lose.
Yes.
That's what I don't understand.
Bingo. You got it.
Well, but you can't make those moves. You can't try to lose. You can try not to win. You can't try to lose. I mean, those are two very different.
Well, why
things.
Can't you? There's no. I mean, it's not like Major League Baseball would launch an investigation into the Pirates and take draft picks away from them or fine them. It's not blatantly obvious.
I mean, Andrew, that would be like, you know, Jim Gracie coming in the studio and cutting your mic off or something. I mean, he's
you'd be surprised at how often that's happened to me.
If cutting my mic off meant that we were going to, like, get number one ratings and Jim Gracie was going to get a huge bonus for it, he probably would do it.
He would take one of those cartoon boxing gloves that shoots out on a spring and KO Pony on the air.
The problem with baseball is that it's incentivized to be as bad as possible when you're not good. And that's what forces teams like the Pirates into these weird conundrums and Faustian bargains where they have to weigh these types of things. I think it's tough.
No, I agree with you. But, like, at the same time, they need to, and please don't jump all over me, let me explain this. I can already sense you're going to pounce on this. But, like, they need to put butts in seats, right? Like, they need to be remotely competent. And no, I don't think Chase DeYoung is going to put butts in seats. No, I don't think one more win against the Brewers or the Nationals is going to put butts in seats. But if you have a reasonably competent product, maybe people will watch. But I'm agreeing with you, Andrew, that the only way you can do it, the only way for a team that spends the way the Pirates do or don't spend the way the Pirates do, is to be awful, to try to do this. And you can't admit it. And it's a crappy economic situation. But it does hurt you. It hurts fans. It's not fair to people because you have to watch stuff like this.
Jason, I want to go back to it's still in this same vein, but it's Shelton again. We were talking about him and just his future with this job, and the idea you don't turn down one of 30 jobs that exists, right? In the entire world, there are 30 major league managers. Maybe, you know, like Tony La Russa probably shouldn't have gotten a job, but he did, so maybe it's not always a meritocracy. But how much can you truly evaluate Shelton when we all understand intellectually what this season is? Do you know that? Like, I mentioned the DeYoung thing, and yet I can't even get that mad at him because I do feel like he was told on some level, this is going to be tough. Game to game, it's going to be tough. There's going to be things that maybe you normally would never do, but we're going to ask you to do them. I feel like it's not even that fair of me to cast harsh judgment on the manager because the manager's executing a certain kind of plan that's probably not going to work in terms of getting wins.
No doubt. And I think there's two ways of looking. Well, there's a couple ways of looking at what Shelton has done. But one, you're talking about, like, in-game tactical stuff. And I do think, like I said before, there's a certain amount of, like, this is what we have to go on. It doesn't matter how much they spend, like, in the fourth inning. You have a decision, A or B. If you choose B, it blows up. Like, okay, you're wrong and you should be evaluated and such. Now, I agree that it's hard for Shelton because we don't know the context. We don't know what he's being told from above. We don't know what their big picture direction is. Yeah, they've left some breadcrumbs, but, like, not enough. The other ways of looking at Shelton, though, I look at, like, are you getting individual improvements out of players? Are you getting a collective improvement? Like, i.e., are we not seeing Will Crow, you know, chase a guy back toward home? Are we not seeing Brian Hayes miss first on a home run? Like, stupid plays that should not happen. And that's a check mark against Shelton. Like, are we seeing Mitch Keller get better? I think it's TBD. Mm-hmm. I think that means a lot toward, you know, does this guy affect change? I like what they've done in terms of, like, I do think he gets a decent amount out of players, right? Like, they're aggressive. I don't think you can say the Pirates play hard. They might not always play smart. But it's, again, it is very tough because there's, like, separate little buckets that you have to use to evaluate the guy.
Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider here at the Fan, is our guest. ESPN today has a new MLB mock draft, and they have a California shortstop, Marcelo Mayer, as the number one pick to the Pirates. Are the Bucks even going to send anybody to Omaha to watch Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter this week, or are they pretty much already past that point where it's all high school shortstops all the time, Jason?
No, no. I think they'll have people there. They've had people on those guys to date. I truly believe, Andrew, they don't know which way they're going. You know, and I think a lot of that is predicated on what comes out of the College World Series, what guys' asks are, and not that the Pirates are trying to, like, skate by and not spend all their money, but I do think it's in play. We've sort of talked about the strategy of saving on 1-1 and using it in another area of the draft, and so I think that's part of it. But no, they'll be scouting those two guys, and I just, it's so variant.
But they're leaning high school shortstop.
Seems that way, at least.
Who said that?
I don't know.
All the mock drafts?
I go by the chatter.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen mock drafts that have Davis there, too. Now, I just...
But you don't see any with Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, I'll tell you that much.
You don't, but you did.
Yep.
You did. It's gone from Rocker was mocked, then Leiter was mocked. Then I've seen ones with Henry Davis being mocked. You've had Lawler mocked. The only one I haven't seen mocked, honestly, are like Khalil Watson and Brady House.
Doesn't it just seem to you that the Pirates don't want to draft a guy who wants to be in the major leagues next year?
Well, I mean, how many guys available in the draft? Well,
Rocker and Leiter
be in the major leagues. Yeah, but I mean, I don't put that on the Pirates, Andrew, because I think, I mean, the scouts that I've talked to have told me that the upside with the high school shortstops is greater. So, like, what do you want? Do you want a pitcher who might want to be there sooner and is probably more of a risk, or do you want a position player with a higher upside?
Here's a question for you. Who makes the pick, Jim or Joe Delacari, the guy that's just ruined a bunch of Pirates draft picks the last few years? Is it still his call?
He has a say. He has a say.
Who's got the ultimate say?
Ben.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I don't...
But he's not on the road watching those guys as much as Delacari and Sanders, right?
Yeah, I mean, but he's pulling intel from everybody. He's pulling intel from scouts, from you know, amateur and pro. I mean, and if it's Ben's, you know what? If it's screwed up, like, he's ultimately he's not going to let Delacari go make a pick and not approve of it. I mean, that would be like the Steelers if Kevin Colbert makes a draft pick and Tomlin doesn't approve. I mean, it's different. Different titles, I get that, but, like, you're going to be in agreement on things.
Jason, you will forgive me, though, for even if, you know, obviously no two high school shortstops are the same, and you don't put everybody into a bucket based on one guy not panning out. I've seen so many middle infielders, it feels like, get drafted here in the last several years, whether they be high school or college, and then not seeing them pan out. I just, every time I look at Cole Tucker and every time I look at Kevin Newman,
picked Newman ahead of Buehler, even though they had drafted Buehler like the year before, Jason.
I twitch, man. Like, it makes me upset. I know these guys that they would be taking 1-1 are different kind of cats altogether, but it's hard for me to avoid lumping what the result would be into a different category.
Guys, to be fair, I'm not lobbying the high school shortstop route. I would take.
Oh, no, you're the messenger here. We get it.
Yeah, no, I'm one, wanting to put my own opinion out there, and two, just like, the only thing I've said about the Pirates is I do think there are multiple guys in play. Like, I don't think it's just isolating on high school shortstops. Like, I think they'll absolutely look at arms. I think they'll look at Davis as a catcher. I don't think that's going to make sense for them, but I'm just saying I don't think they're, like, absolutely drafting a high school shortstop. And Chris, to your point, man, like, I get that. I agree with you. And I look at their organizational depth chart right now and, like, you know, you've got guys there that can play. Like, if you take one of these high school shortstops, I would hope that they're going to go the route of somebody who's athletic enough to maybe learn another position. Not that they necessarily want to move them, but just in the case of, like, you can't play three shortstops at once. So, like, you theoretically have Key Brian Hayes. You theoretically have Nick Gonzalez. What are you going to do with O'Neill Cruz, Lyover Peguero? Like, forget Tucker and Newman. I mean, you have to get this position right, and you want to get a talented guy, sure, but you also want to be able to, you know, sort of distill this talent into the positions that you have at the major league level eventually.
Jason Mackey, Pirates Insider, does an amazing job at the Post-Gazette and does a great job when he comes on with us. Thanks, Jason.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
There you go.
Am I screwing up by, like, I have all my texts set to auto-delete after 30 days. Like, I just don't care enough. I just don't care enough about keeping receipts. Well,
Greg?
I thought there was only two options, 30 days or never.
No, mine's a year.
I never delete them.
I don't care that much about trying to blackmail people, I guess.
That wasn't blackmail.
I'm not saying what you did was, but I feel like that's what other people who keep them. Like, Craig is.
I don't want to misquote someone. I want a paper trail.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.